Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retro Rewatch. I'm Jeff Gamet. This is the show where Patrice Brendan Moore and I talk about shows that she has seen, that I have not. And so you get my perspective as a first-time viewer and her perspective as someone that's that has seen these shows a lot. And that wonderful voice you're hearing is Patrice. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I mean, we're recording this quite late in the day. I'm back from a flying lesson. And the weather is actually perfect for talking about a TV show because it's raining and it's kind of cold here.
Oh, wow.
It's going to go back to scorching hot in about a week. But it's a nice break in between the scorching hot weather that we've had. How are you doing?
I am still alive and kicking.
Good. That's a good start.
It is. Yeah. I've been so busy. Been working on a project. Mm-hmm. That's consumed a bunch of time, and then it's been scorching hot, and
so for you too, nice.
Yeah, I would totally go for some of that rain you're having right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, it went from what was it, 36 degrees Celsius, so almost 90 something, almost 100, 90 something here. Down to about, I think today the high was 17 degrees Celsius, so about somewhere in the 60s, low 60s. Wow. Within a day or so.
It's right almost up. Like you're in Colorado.
Almost, yeah. I mean, we don't get four seasons in one day, so that we don't get here usually.
Well, now you have something to strive for.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, but it's still nice. I'll take it. It's a nice break. It will be back to hot anyway. And it was good. You can watch some TV shows.
Right. Speaking of TV shows, last episode we talked about the season cliffhanger, Stargate SG-1 season 2, Out of Mind.
Yeah, and the recap we did actually last episode. We've done the recap in between.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
Patrice, in my defense, I get all the information right, just never in the correct order.
Yeah, we know that.
We have established this.
Yeah, we did the recap already of Stargate SG-1. We're basically in the break between, as you said, Out of Mind and whatever the next episode is, because I'm blanking on the name right now.
Season 3, Episode 1.
Season 3, Episode 1. That's the one. I mean, we could see Into the Fires and the next one then. But
I was kind of hoping that it would have a name that fits with Out of Mind.
Out of Mind, Into the Fire?
I thought mind would play into it somehow, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
As you've mentioned, we are in the between season thing, and so we're doing like we did between season 1 and season 2, and simulating our season break.
Yes. Well, that, and also it's more fun for us because we as much as we enjoy Stargate SG-1, sometimes you want to do something else.
And that's exactly what we're doing today.
Correct.
But we're doing the same thing, but different. We're talking about a TV show that you love dearly and have seen many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I watched the pilot episode for the first time.
Yes, exactly. And I would say we never said that we are a Stargate SG-1 rewatch podcast. We just said we're going to watch retro shows. So this absolutely fits. It's a regular episode. I mean, that we focus on Stargate right now and have a lot of fun doing it. Mm-hmm. It's one thing. But at any point in between, we can be like, hey, let's just watch an episode of this or that. It's completely up to us, makes it more interesting. So for today, we have a very special show. Definitely not sci-fi.
No, we went in a completely different direction.
Yeah. We had some sci-fi shows on the list. We're like, oh, we could watch this, we could watch that. And we might at some future point still do it. I have some that I want to watch, for example, Continue with you. Mm-hmm. But for today, and I mean, the people who have it in the podcast player probably can already see what it is. But for the people who, I don't know, maybe they're unloading the dishwashers right now and they don't know what they're getting. Jeff, what is the show you watch? What's the episode you watch? Do you remember?
All right. Well, I do remember.
Good.
And everyone, if you're in the middle of loading the dishwasher, just set the dishes down for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We just watched season one, episode one, the pilot of Gilmore Girls.
Yay!
Yeah. A show that all I knew about it was that it was like a mom and daughter.
Yeah. And they talk really, really fast and a lot and all over the place and all of that.
Yeah. So now I know a little bit more about Gilmore Girls.
Yes. Yeah. So also format-wise, we're changing things slightly because the show doesn't lend itself to doing a play-by-play because it's just too much and too detailed, and the episodes will be, like, the podcast episodes would be, like, 6 hours long, probably. But
yeah, that would be a long episode.
Yeah, but we still have the usual. We have the cast, we have production notes, we have interesting tidbits, and we'll have a little recap. And then mostly, I think today we'll focus on what you thought and like what your feelings were about it. And I can tell you then also why I love this show so much. And I think a lot of people.
I have some ideas about why you love this show so much.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So. All right, so looking at just some basic info,
mm-hmm.
but I know you're going to have a lot more.
I have a lot more.
So this show was on the WB,
mm-hmm.
and the first air date was October 5th, 2000.
Yes. So I think that is significant. One, because, I mean, it kind of lines up almost with our story, the SG-1 timeline, and what we're in the... let's say mid to late 90s, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, 1999, I think we're in right now.
I believe that is correct, which we figured out for sure in the episode 1969. So ironically, they had to go to the past for us to figure out they were in 1999.
Yeah, for sure. February 10th, 1990. Sorry, March 12th, 1999, if you take the US side. So about a year and a half after that episode that we talked about before, the last episode we talked about before. Yeah, but as I said, lining up nicely with the late 90s, early 2000s kind of thing that we're having, which also means mm-hmm. we have more than... I don't know, 8 to 10 episodes in a season still.
Right. Yeah. It's like over 20 episodes
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of seasons.
There were a lot of seasons. Yes. Back then more than we have these days. If I could find it on the freaking IMDb page, and I will tell you how many seasons and how many episodes.
While you're looking that up, I'll point out one thing I realized after mm-hmm. after I watched the episode and then went to see mm-hmm. how many seasons there were. The daughter, you get to watch her grow up on the show.
Yeah. I mean, as usual, she is older than the character she portrays for usually very practical reasons, you know. It's difficult. There's a lot of rules around working with even with teenagers, like how long they can work on set and all of that. So for sure, Alexis Bledel was not 16.
But she looks 16.
Yeah, I mean, she did look 16. Or I mean, they also dressed her. We'll talk about that later. They dressed her a little bit that way to make her look a little bit younger. So yeah. But as I said, we're in the, let's say, early 2000s
mm-hmm.
On the WB. That's where it started. I checked. It's 7 seasons, and it's about it. The first season had 21 episodes.
Okay.
So a lot of episodes. Let's see. Season 2 has even 22. So I guess because they had basically 2 pilots, they skipped one in the first season.
Okay. And One thing I noticed right up front, as they were going through the opening credits, written by a woman, directed by a woman.
Correct.
And that seemed very appropriate for me, since it's a show that that focuses on the life of a mother and daughter.
Yeah, I mean, mother and daughter, and even more. It's like, it's all about relationships. It's all about mothers and daughters, like in all different like layers that we get to experience. But before we jump into that, IMDb rating I have for the show itself, 7.1 on like the total.
Okay.
As you said, written by Amy Sherman Palladino, also created it and also produced it, executive producer. Like she is the woman from beginning to end behind this show.
Okay. So I'm assuming that she's involved through every season.
Yeah.
And you said there were like some made for TV movies.
They did because they didn't get to really complete the show how they wanted, because I think the last season, I don't remember, I think some producer or writer or something was changed, and they kind of didn't get to finish it the way they wanted, but they got eventually a four-part, let's say, mini season. It's kind of four movies, like an hour-ish, I think, each, or an hour and a half-ish each, even. But it's four seasons, and it's after the show. So it's quite cool. And that way, they got to wrap up everything.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that they kind of didn't know until the end that it would be the end. And they fortunately at least got a little goodbye that they were able to do in the final episode, but it was kind of last minute, let's put it this way.
Okay.
So not a proper final season where they could wrap topics up and all of that.
Which happens far too often.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot of times. Directed by Leslie Linka Glatter. Don't know much about her, but as you said, also a woman. We should definitely do. We should talk a little bit about the cast, because that's in this case quite important, because we don't know those people. Well, you might know those people by now. It's been 25 years, but you might have heard of some of them at some point. So Lauren Graham as Lorelai Gilmore. She was actually pursued by the casting directors from the start of the process. They really wanted her. Mostly Amy, she thought she was perfect for that. Unfortunately, she was committed to another show on NBC.
Oh, okay.
So they kind of were trying to... the other show was MYOB. I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of it. But it basically... It was supposed to be like a summer replacement series, but then it kind of combusted, you could call it. So unfortunately, it was canceled. Or Amy was hoping that it would get canceled, and she fortunately was right. They had a week before shooting the original pilot, and there was two pilots. They shot an original pilot, and then they reshot it a little bit later, or reshot some scenes at least later. With some different actors. A week before shooting the original pilot, they still hadn't cast Lorelai. They tried. It's not that they were like, okay, like what do we do if Lauren Graham is not available? So they had tried to recast, and there were some names I didn't write down. But there were some high profile people that they were pursuing, but none of them were right. And she was fortunate enough that it at the end all worked out. And they asked her, basically, when the other show got canceled, they asked her to audition anyway. And basically she got it. And Amy later explained that Lauren had kind of met all the criteria that she had for this character. Because she said, and I quote, Lorelai is a hard fucking part. You've got to be funny. You've got to talk really fucking fast. You've got, and I'm sorry for all the swear words, but I'm just quoting her. You've got to be able to act. You've got to be sexy, but not scary sexy. You've got to be strong, but not like I hate men. And yes, Lauren Graham is all of that. All of it.
You know, just from the pilot episode, I agree. She personified that image really well.
Yeah. And there is, I think, a reason for that, but we'll get to that. We have Alexis Bledel as Rory Gilmore, was cast in the key role of Rory despite having zero, and I mean zero, previous acting experience.
Wow.
Like she basically she was like from the street almost. But what Amy Sherman-Palladino really liked was that she was like the shyness, the innocence that she had at that point still, which was essential for this character. Like, and also, of course, she photographed well. I think she was, if I remember correctly, she was a model or something. So it's not that, like, she's not been somewhere around that. But she had no, like, at least no acting experience in like a TV show or anything like that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed.
Yeah. No. It's. I mean, you here and there you can tell that she was not super experienced.
But I think that also played a into pilot.
Well, it's a pilot, and also I think it played into the character. The shyness, the innocence, the inexperience, I think played actually well in this character because that's what Rory is. Mm-hmm. At this point, at least. Melissa McCarthy, you might have recognized her.
I did.
Yeah. Sookie St. James was not originally in the cast. The unaired pilot, the character was played by Alex Borstein.
But she has a cameo in this.
She has actually multiple throughout the series. But this is she is in the pilot, in the reshot pilot. They gave her still a character, a harp player basically is her.
Mm-hmm.
But she had another commitment, so she couldn't really do like the commitment to having a. I mean, at least a season, couple seasons, maybe longer show is like, that's a serious commitment. And if you have mm-hmm. another commitment already, that's sometimes not possible. That happens all the time. Like that someone shoots a pilot, some actor says, yeah, okay, I'll do it because they think it's going to go nowhere. And 99% of the time it does go nowhere. And mm-hmm. then you have that 1% case where it's like, okay, crap, now we have to actually shoot it. And then they might sometimes can make it work and sometimes... they have to reshoot with another character. Well, or the other cases, sometimes the original character doesn't work out, like Star Trek had that a bunch, and they have to replace them.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
We have Keiko Ajina, I think, as Lane Kim. So the friend. The character is actually based on Sherman Palladino's friend and fellow producer, Helen Pai. Who is Japanese-American. Well, actually, no, who is Korean-American. Keiko Ajina, I think. I don't know. I'm probably butchering the name. She's actually Japanese-American, not Korean. Yeah, but okay. She's there. We have Yannick Truesdale as Michel Gérard, the French guy. Funny character.
Oh, okay. Took me a second. Yep. Yep. Okay, got him.
Scott Patterson as Luke Danes. Important.
That's the restaurant guy, right?
The cafe guy, yes.
Cafe.
Diner. Okay. Kind of more diner, I would say. Diner guy. Was actually originally supposed to be a woman. But in the original script, but then he got cast and I think he was perfect. And it kind of went from there. We have Kelly Bishop as Emily Gilmore. What I mean, she has. I've listened to her audiobook, autobiography. She mm-hmm. has a freaking long and crazy, and she's done everything, like career. And she, I think in the book, she, if I remember correctly, and like don't nail me on it, I think, but as far as I remember, she kind of got pushed into auditioning for this character, and she kind of didn't want to do it. So she was a little bit off-puttish, you could call it. Which, perfect which for this
works
character.
For her character.
Yeah, and she loved it, and like the fun thing, and I'm gonna spoil a little bit, those three, Lauren, Alexis, and Kelly, they're really close friends to this day. And I think there's awesome. A reason for it, because those just work really well together. And she was nothing like, I mean, she could be like that, but she, from what I've heard and Lauren has especially talked about, she was nothing like that when she wasn't on camera. She could switch like that.
That's acting.
Yeah, exactly. So she's a really lovely lady, but apparently, well, the character required her not to be. She definitely has she 100% has some of that Emily Gilmore in her, though. Like, she does have that. But she comes from, like, very down-to-earth, like, places and means, and she worked really hard to get where she is, so she has that. And we have Edward Herrmann as Richard Gilmore, which was, they wanted him, they got him, they were very happy about that. And he was perfect.
I enjoyed his character.
He's so great. Like the whole, okay, we'll talk about it later. We have some guest stars. Not funny enough, because she is listed in the opening credits, but she is actually not in this episode. Lisa Weil as Paris Geller. And I still wanted to mention her, even though she doesn't show up actually in this episode, because she shows up in a later episode, because she actually originally auditioned to play Rory. And she was just not right for the character. And I think in hindsight, even Lisa said, yeah, it's just like Alexis was so much better and it fit so much better. But Palladino basically wrote a character for her. So she wrote the role of Paris Geller for her specifically. And I think that's why she's probably in the credits, because she basically is then part of the show. So fortunately you didn't get to see her, but you're missing out. It's really fun. We have Jared Padalecki as Dean Forrester. Get to see him a little bit. He was actually played in the unheard pilot by Nathan Wetherington. Didn't know either of those two, so no idea. Yeah, and then we mentioned Alex Borstein as Drella and Emily Kudora as, I think, the mom, from Kim's mom, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, Mrs. Kim.
Mrs. Kim.
Yeah, also a fun character. Yeah, so that's the cast we're working with. There's, of course, tons of other characters and secondary, like later guest stars and whatever. But that's kind of the, let's say, the core group, the core cast that also shows up basically throughout most of the season and most of the show.
Okay. It seems, just from the pilot, like they put together a primary cast that fits well.
Yes. Yeah, they did. And I think that's why the show works so well, because as we've talked about, like, between the original unaired pilot and the real pilot, they did some replacements, but mostly for the reason of someone wasn't available. And then, to be honest, there were people added later, but that is the crew beginning to end, more or less.
Okay.
Yeah. So nobody... Yeah, I mean, Drella didn't. Drella showed up here or there, so Alexis Borstein should show up here or there again. But not as much, of course. But all the others, basically, like, sometimes more, sometimes less, but always there. So it shows that cast worked. Especially, like, I mean, you would expect, okay, Laura Graham and Alexis Bledel and maybe Edward Herrmann and Kelly Bishop and yeah, maybe even Scott Peterson might stay, like, as kind of the core cast. But all the other characters, yeah, could be switched out. Like, if they want to leave, if they want to come back, if they want someone else, whatever. but they can tell you they stayed.
All right, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I have a bunch of little tidbits if you want to talk about that before we go into the
recap. Hit me up with your tidbits.
So, we already talked about Luke Danes. There were several minor characters such as Judy Tollan and Mrs. Langworthy that were cut from the original script, with multiple scenes that were switched around or merged between the original pilot, the unread pilot, and then the actual pilot.
Okay. So,
unfortunately, some people we lost there. The pilot was actually shot in Unionville, Ontario, near Toronto. Hey, there's our Canadian connection.
Huh, how about that?
Yeah, while the actual show was shot, I think, on the, was it the Universal backlot? No, I'm yeah, definitely so. Definitely California. But the okay. show itself later was shot. And that's something, of course, if like for the people who have seen the show, they will notice that the pilot is a completely different environment. Some of the sets are the same. Like if they had a soundstage or whatever, they, of course, could reuse that. But a lot of it is different, especially all the outside stuff.
So there's this whole thing in canon for Gilmore Girls, yeah. where one day their entire town looks completely different.
They wake up
and no one says a thing.
Yeah, that's it. There's some elements that you will see. It's not fundamental changes. It's like I'll give you one example. Luke's diner is a corner store, corner diner. Basically the second episode, the first one is more like in a street somewhere. Like
yeah, it's like a strip.
Yeah, exactly.
On something a street. Like
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So those are the little things. I think her house changes slight. Did we even see that? I don't remember if we even saw her house in this episode. No, don't think so. Her parents' house slight changes, but more or less. But I think that was a set. So. Especially the outside stuff, some of it changed. I think even the was it a dragonfly inn? Independence Inn. Even the inn slightly different and stuff like that. But it's subtle changes mostly. Like the diner is one of the more glaring differences, to be honest.
So Lorelai and Rory slipped into an alternate parallel universe.
Yeah, maybe. Or they
I'm totally going to tie this into to fitting with Stargate somehow.
Yeah, or they moved town overnight or something. Yeah, as I said, I mean, it's kind of obvious. Mostly the outside shots, they're different because it's a different environment. But the stage stuff is mostly the same. The series was approved, I mentioned that, a total of 18 minutes and 46 seconds worth of new footage was shot for the updated version of this pilot.
That's substantial.
So, it's about a third of the episode-ish, right? Mm-hmm. About 44 minutes, I think. So yeah, about a third of the episode. Stars Hollow was inspired by and is loosely based on the actual villages of Washington Depot, in Connecticut, West Hartford, Connecticut, and the town of New Milford. And I hope I pronounced those correctly.
I'm sure you pronounced New Milford correctly.
Probably not, but okay. Amy Sherman-Palladino's aim was to create a family show that doesn't make parents want to stick something sharp in their eyes while they're watching it and doesn't talk down to kids. I think she succeeded there.
Yeah, I feel like I can say that after watching the pilot. Yeah, that's how it came across.
Yeah. As signaled by the tagline, life's short, talk fast. Good tagline.
That's actually awesome.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls is known for the fast-paced dialogue and the, in quotes, witty repartee. She wanted snappy delivery from the characters because she believes that comedy dies slow, and which also required, we mentioned that earlier, required large volumes of dialogue to fit the, well, not hour long, but 44 minute long slot. So scripts averaged 80 pages per episode compared to the typical average of like 55 to 60. And sometimes, like, one page was about 20 to 25 seconds of screen time. So if you think about it, how much text, I mean, yeah, there's some instructions and whatever, but how much text you can fit on a page. And then it's like 20%, 20 seconds. It's basically, yeah, so you can tell. Scott Patterson later said that the pace of the dialogue led to both him and Lauren Graham quitting smoking.
Oh, wow.
She needed her win.
Okay, good for them.
And I needed my win, that's what he said. Yeah, it's like, you can imagine, like, if you're smoking, you don't have the amount of air that you need to talk fast.
Sure.
So, yeah. One thing you will notice in the show, which was on purpose, is that Amy, her motto was make the big small. So meaning the little things are more important than the big changes, the big action, the big story.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. And you see that. Like, it's basically, it's more about the little interactions, little details, whatever, and not there's like a lot of action happening and like stuff, like story, massive story, basically. But it's more about the little interactions, the little relationships.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That the pilot, it felt like we were getting a look into just everyday life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or Lorelei or Lorelai?
Lorelai and Rory.
For Lorelai and Rory.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's exactly what made it special, because it's not, I mean, you and me, like, our everyday life is not every day there is like whatever, a massive event or a big, some action happening, or we're traveling or whatever, like we're having big adventures. Like, no, every day is usually pretty mundane, but mm-hmm. less, but still interesting. And that's kind of what the balance she found, in which, I mean, there is some stories for sure, and it's not, there's no story and it's just talking, but it's, you see it also, like a lot of the action happens off screen and they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
okay,
that's
important. Yep.
Amy Sherman-Palladino treated Lorelai as a reflection of herself, and her husband, by the way, also later on, I think, producer, said, Amy writing for Lorelai Gilmore has always been really special. No surprise, they're kind of doppelgangers. Amy and Lorelai are very, very similar. The character is a great cipher for a lot of what Amy is and has been from the very beginning. And yes, you can tell. And I think also a bunch later on, at least, especially a bunch of Lauren Graham. Because that's normal. Mm-hmm. Every show, and especially kind of this type of show, the characters and the actors kind of melt into like one, because you cannot separate them, really.
Well, and when you do a show that has as many episodes as mm-hmm. this, or Stargate SG-1, the actors,
mm-hmm.
they're creating the character.
Yeah.
So you're going to see exactly what you're describing happen over time, just because it's the nature of what these people are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. As I said, it's like, not every character is like the actor, but more often than not, especially with very strong characters and very long-running shows, there's a blend, because actors take influence or make influence on how the characters evolve and what the characters do, and the writers also take sometimes inspiration from the character, from the actor, and say, okay, like stuff that happens to the actors, they're like, hey, this is like, we can incorporate. So it's, I mean, even like Patrick Stewart, is he like Picard? Not 100%, but he says like there is a lot of Stewart in Picard and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just normal. It took 8 working days to shoot an episode, and days were regularly 14 to 20 hours.
That's a lot of work.
Lauren Graham said, we filmed alongside The West Wing, and Aaron Sorkin shows are known for having the worst hours ever. They go on and on. but we were always there even after they had gone home because you couldn't change a word of the script. And of course, with all that dialogue and the text and whatever and getting it at least correctly enough that you have a show, it was a lot of takes there for me to do.
Oh, I'm sure. And yeah, and if you have to get all the words right,
yes.
That's going to slow things down.
Oh, yes. Last thing I have, and we've talked enough about the details of the show and the surroundings. Gilmore Girls, the score or the non-diegetic. I've copied this from somewhere. What does that mean? Non-diegetic.
Non-diegetic.
The background sound, I think. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, exactly. A sound in a movie having a source external to the content of the eye. It's basically the background sound. That score was composed by singer-songwriter Sam Phillips.
Okay.
The theme song is a version of Carole King's 1971 song, Where You Lead. I think you might have recognized that. But she made a special recording for Gilmore Girls, a duet with her daughter, Louise Goffin. Just for this. So, yeah, but you might have recognized that song quite.
I did, and
I really liked
it. And I hope that they fixed the opening credit sequence for later episodes.
Eventually, yes. No, the credit you saw, the credit scene, I think is more or less what you got the first, I think, season or two. But eventually they changed it.
Oh, good, because the way they used the theme song,
yeah,
and it just they get to the end of all the credits and the song is just suddenly over.
Yeah,
but it's not actually, and you know, it's not over.
Yeah. No, they fixed it later, as far as I remember.
Good. Also, but
it took a season or two. You know, okay, you don't always have the money in early on to actually do things like that. You're stuck with what you did early on with, like, the little budget you had, probably, and time.
I appreciate that, yeah. Another thing I hope they fixed, when they did fix the opening credit sequence, the way the names appear, where at first I thought I was watching a crappy recording. And then the letters come together and they're sharp.
Yeah.
Doing the thing where the name shows up with the blurred text slides into the sharp text.
I didn't mind that. I think that a lot. The problem is more that the whole opening credit was kind of a crappy recording. Oh, I mean, it was 2000, yes. So some of it probably didn't matter as much on probably SD. I guess it's might have had already HD at that point, but it was probably still rare that people had HD TVs. But yeah, no, it especially the early season crappy credits were quite crappy, and eventually they got updated.
Okay, I'm glad.
It's more or less that it is more or less the same, but they kind of made it a little bit nicer.
All right. They just knowing they improved it some at some point.
Yeah,
that's helpful, because just watching the opening credits. By the time I got to the end of the credits, I was actually concerned about what I was going to be seeing.
I can totally see that, especially since it's not like, you know, on Stargate, we have the kind of the opening teaser and then we go into the credits. So you're kind of already into the story. Different here. You always get the intro first and then you get to the story. So I think I can totally see that would be concerning.
Yeah. So, I mean, luckily, the episode was better than the opening credit sequence.
Yeah. And I mean, keep in mind, we're watching the pilot, which two-thirds are the original pilot, the unaired pilot, and one-third is reshot. So, it's probably not the best you can do. And I mean, you know, also, a lot of shows, actually, I think almost all shows need a little time to get
oh sure
get to and, get their footing.
Yeah, and it is a pilot, so yes, as you have pointed out, they probably didn't have the budget to do the sequence they wanted, and
yeah,
so it just stayed that until it didn't.
Yeah, so I think we should do a recap to get everybody. I mean, I hope everybody has watched the episode by now. So we're not doing, as I mentioned, we're not doing the play by play this time. We're doing more like a kind of a Mission Log style recap. It's just too many details to like too hard to do that play by play. I think it would be really difficult.
There was at least three episodes worth of dialogue if this had been Stargate SG-1.
Exactly, and details in the background and little things here or there and whatever. So I with the help of AI and some of my knowledge, I came up with a recap for us, and then we can talk about
awesome.
What we thought about. So let's just do it. It's a crisp morning in Stars Hollow, and Lorelai Gilmore is on a mission. Coffee. And plenty of it. She heads straight for Luke's diner, where she charms and cajoles Luke Danes into pouring her a cup, her six by her own count. This is the morning, and she's already had six. Their banter is kind of easy and familiar and just a little bit flirty. I don't know if you picked up on that, but I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Soon.
Just a touch of flirty.
Yeah. Soon, Rory, Lorelai's 16-year-old daughter, arrives, shivering and in need of caffeine herself. Like mother, like daughter. Rory doesn't just want coffee. She needs it. And the two fall into kind of a playful, rapid-fire conversation that shows just how much they are cut from the same cloth. Their shared love of coffee is matched only by their shared sense of humor. And when a local named Joey tries to flirt with both women, first Lorelai and then Rory, he's quickly outmatched by the united front until Lorelai drops the "she's my daughter" bump and sends him packing, him and his friend.
Which I thought was... That whole scene, that actually played out in a way that I felt was very realistic.
Yeah, yeah. And it shows the little similarities between them. Like, there's so many little details and little ways. Like, they like the same songs. Like, they shared the CD. Like, Rory was looking for a CD, and Lorelai had it, and all of that. So, you just see a lot of those little similarities showing that they could be sisters, but they're really mother and daughter.
Yes. And okay, with that scene, I liked how they both were able to get in their barbs into this guy and played off each other very well. And when Lorelai says she's my daughter, and the guy starts freaking out, and then Rory says something like, "Are you going to be my new daddy?" It's just like nails it.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did like the way they played off each other, and and I know part of that is the writing, but I really liked how that worked.
Maybe a little sidebar. Alexis and Lorelai Lauren did not know each other. Barely met right before they started shooting. So it's not that they had weeks and weeks.
How late she came into the show.
Exactly. It's like 2 or 3 days, I think they had, so, or something like that. So yeah, it wasn't like they had weeks and weeks and weeks to build like a relationship. It just worked day one. At the Independence Inn, Lorelai juggles her duties as manager. Michelle, the ever-irritable concierge, is fielding calls and displaying his trademark impatience. Drella, the harpist, there we get the cameo.
That's where we get, yes.
Complains about moving her harp and about the guests in general. In the kitchen, Suki St. James, Lorelai's best friend and the inn's chef, is on the floor again. This time from a run-in with a skillet. Lorelai helps her up, tastes Suki's latest sauce, and jokes about her dream of opening their own inn someday. Laura has quick thinking and ability to handle chaos with a joke is a trait Rory mirrors at her in her own school life.
All right, so here's my observations from this whole section. And this is something that that carries through the whole episode for me. Mm-hmm. When we have Lorelai and Rory interacting, you can see that smooth, well-oiled machine that I'm sure goes through the entire series. Mm-hmm. And when we get the introduction of each new character along the way, by the way, I like that they break it up. Mm-hmm. So we get a new character every few minutes instead of like a bunch of people at once.
Yeah, exactly.
Those parts where they introduce the new characters to us,
yeah,
that to me had that strained feeling of so many TV pilots where they know they have like 43 minutes or 48 minutes or whatever it is, and they have to get us all this information and still hook us.
Yeah, but I think they did it quite well because it's always about, it's either Lorelai or Rory, and they're the connecting points. So they're like Lorelai with Luke, Lorelai with Suki, Lorelai with Michelle. We'll get to that. Rory with Lane and so on. So they're the connecting tissue.
Yes.
So it's not like, oh, here's like 15 new people and you get to know them and whatever, and everybody gets like a sentence and then that's it. And or like someone explains who they are. So even weird, like we don't get an exposition room where someone explains who's coming in, like we got with Carter. we didn't get that.
But they do have an exposition room here. It's the exposition kitchen.
kind of not. Well, maybe tiny little bit.
I know I'm totally stretching it here.
tiny little.
And also,
at least so about the inn thing, maybe. But it feels very genuine. It's like you get, what I really like here is you get that sense that Suki really cares. She's kind, I mean, without them saying it, she seems to be kind of accident prone, but she seems to be also a really good chef. And that dream of their inn kind of comes up pretty naturally. Like they try the sauce and they're like, yeah, we should maybe have that.
So, my observation about that strained part, it's not a complaint about the show because you're right. The way they weave in the introductions, I think it works very well and it's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because they do have a lot of characters.
Yeah. But as you're right. Every pilot, to some extent, every pilot has to do that one way or another.
And they did pretty well with that, I thought.
Yeah.
I have a question about Suki. I felt like the whole, she's accident prone. Was
overplayed.
That actually did way overplayed and forced to me.
Yes.
And what I'm hoping is that at least soon after the pilot sometime in season one, that gets played way down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
they dialed it way, way down. It does happen here or there, but it's not like 15 times in like 40 minutes. Like every now and then something happens, but it's not like They found a way to focus that kind. I think that what they wanted is kind of the relationship between Lorelai and Suki and why it works so well, and like Suki's kind of the creative crazy person, the creative chef, and Lorelai kind of grounds her a little bit, and they wanted that, and they found a different way later to do that.
Okay, good. Is that was actually the single most distracting part of the entire episode for me. Just every time they did that. They did wonderful choreography for it.
Oh, 100%. But it was like, it was too much. But
it was too much.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're absolutely right. And when I saw this, I didn't remember this at all because this is not what I remember from this show. So no, this is different. Let's jump to school. So Rory and her best friend Lane are walking to school, discussing Lane's mother's strict rules, the hayride that Lane wants to go to, and the perils of being set up with future doctors. in this case on the inside. At Stars Hollow High, Rory is focused on her writing assignment in class, while classmates are speculating what she's working about. I found that really weird. But what's happened
that
here?
That whole thing was, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get what they're trying to do, letting us know that, hey, Rory, I mean, she is very smart and very focused on her studies.
Yeah.
And she's doing exactly what the teacher said. Yep. All the other girls are playing with nail polish.
Yeah, exactly. So what they wanted to show here was Rory's academic drive and her kind of also outsider status a little bit, which seems to mirror, I think, a little bit also Lorelai, but also the humor and the stubbornness that they both have. I like, they don't care. They're just going to do their thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
After school, Lane and Rory stop by Kim's Antiques, navigating the maze of furniture and Mrs. Kim's formidable presence. I really like that set. Like all that stuff in here.
That set must have taken a lot to put together because it's basically a furniture and antique labyrinth.
Yeah, and you still have to shoot through it.
Right.
Yeah. Mrs. Kim offers them muffins so healthy they need to be soaked in tea to be edible.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, and quizzes them about boys in school.
She also wanted to know which girls had gotten pregnant and dropped out.
Rory's polite patience and ability to handle Mrs. Kim's grilling is a clear reflection of Lorelai's knack for handling difficult people with a smile. Remember, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And Suki a little bit. So, parallels. This is what it's about. Back at the inn, Suki is in the kitchen, and Salvador and Mike are trying to keep them from further injury. So that's what the choreograph that you mentioned came in, where they're like,
yes.
She was cooking and doing something, and they were basically dancing around her and kind of making sure that nothing burned and whatever, fall down or whatever. They would just make sure that she doesn't have another accident. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well choreographed.
And she always has bandages on.
She has always bandages. Well choreographed. I mean, bandages are kind of in the kitchen quite normal. Suddenly, Lorelai bursts in, waving a letter. Rory has been accepted to Chilton Preparatory School. She reads the letter out loud to Suki, who celebrates with her. The acceptance is contingent on paying the first semester's tuition. And Rory walks in just as Lorelai is about to burst with excitement. So Lorelai hands her a gift bag containing a plaid skirt. I like the comment here, and I didn't write it down verbatim, but I think Rory said something about going to like a Britney Spears concert or something.
Oh, yes.
Like that. But Suki accidentally spills the news, and Lorelai confirms it. Rory got into Chilton and starts Monday.
So, a lot of time. So they only have a few days.
Rory is thrilled. There's hugging, and the excitement is loud and a little goofy and perfectly in sync.
This is a well choreographed show.
Yes.
Not just the slapstick scenes with the kitchen, but like the whole show. It is a very well choreographed production.
It is, absolutely. Reality sets in fast, though. Lorelai learns that Chilton's tuition is far more than she can afford. After exhausting her options, she's like, can I sell my car or whatever? And it's like, yeah, nobody wants that. She makes the difficult decision to visit her parents, Emily and Richard Gilmore in Hartford. Their relationship is strained, and you get that sense immediately. But Lorelai asks for help. So Emily agrees to pay, but only if Lorelai and Rory attend dinner at their house every Friday night. I really like that scene because she goes there and you can clearly feel like she really doesn't want to go there, bad memories, all of that. And she comes in and it's like, she gets like, her dad is kind of...
He just uninvolved. Keeps saying, so you want money.
Yeah, yeah. He knows what's going on, but he's otherwise uninvolved. And her mom is basically like prodding her the entire time and like trying to get a reaction out of her and trying to... like make her feel bad and all of that. So it's really funny. So Lorelai kind of hesitates, but ultimately, for Rory's sake, she accepts.
Right. And she makes a point to let her parents know she doesn't want Rory to know
yes.
where the money's coming yeah. from.
And she also makes the point that she wants to pay it back. Mm-hmm. It's a loan, not a gift. Very important. Mm-hmm. Back in Stars Hollow, Rory meets Dean Forrester, the new boy at school. They talk about books, and there's kind of a clear spark between them. Rory tells Lane about Chilton and her doubts about leaving Stars Hollow. And after another encounter with Dean, Rory's excitement about Chilton turns to reluctance. She tells Lorelai she doesn't want to go, which surprises Lorelai and frustrates her. And after a tense conversation, she realizes that Rory's hesitation is because of Dean. Well, because of boy. She doesn't know Dean yet, but because it's because of him. That leads to a right. real fight. because I think Lorelai also kind of puts her foot down a little bit and says, okay, I'm your mom and I'm deciding now. It doesn't work very well with 16-year-olds.
No, but it does give us a really interesting little tidbit.
Yeah.
Which is when Lorelai leaves Rory's bedroom, mm-hmm. Lori turns on her whatever music player she has, mm-hmm. and it's a specific song.
Yeah.
Lorelai goes downstairs, over to her stereo, turns it on.
It's the same song.
And she's playing the same song.
Yeah, so similar.
It's not the radio, it's recordings.
Yeah, yeah. And they're so similar. Like, even in fighting, they're so similar. Yeah, and also, like, the parallel to Lorelai's background later. Rory accuses Lorelai of dragging her away just when something good is happening. While Lorelai insists that Chilton is too important to pass up for a boy. And I think Harvard is mentioned as well. That Rory always wanted to go to Harvard. And this is her way, her path, basically. Both are pretty mm-hmm. stubborn, but also both want the best for each other, and you clearly get that. And both are also too proud to back down in the moment. So, typical 16-year-old and their parents kind of fight. Right? Mm-hmm. Both are quite proud, both kind of want the same thing, kind of, but they can't really show it.
Yeah.
Next day, tension is still high. Lorelai and Rory prepare for their first Friday night dinner at Emily and Richard's. I think there's a little thing in the inn where Rory shows up and she wants to work but really doesn't, and then Lorelai sends her home,
and Michelle, he was upset that Rory was there because she went and sat in his chair.
Exactly. I love that. Like, he's so special about his chair. She gets sent back. They dress up and drive to Hartford. Also interesting, like, how they basically, Lorelai kind of has to prepare herself before, like, ringing the bell, because she knows what's coming.
Yeah, they were standing there, it's implied, for several
yeah.
minutes
yeah.
before Rory finally asks if they're going to go in or if mm-hmm. they're just going to wait outside the door all night.
Yeah. The meal is formal, awkward, and full of pointed questions, mostly from Emily's side. Richard brings up, yeah.
There's a point before they actually start the dinner mm-hmm. where they're all sitting on their little couches, and it's mm-hmm. like a two-seater couch, mm-hmm. one on either side of this table. So yeah. it's like there's a barrier set up.
Yeah.
And Rory
also sitting apart.
Right. Right.
Yes.
And the dad, mm-hmm. he's just sitting there reading his paper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Rory's just sitting beside him feeling yeah. very awkward.
Yeah.
And without even looking, he grabs a section of newspaper and hands it to her.
Yeah, that is him. At the dinner table, Richard brings up Rory's father, Christopher, and how successful he is. He's like, his startup, I think, is like going gangbusters or whatever. And Emily probes Lorelai about her life choices. Like, why didn't you stay with Christopher and all of that? Which leads to Lorelai basically escaping into the kitchen and starting to clean. I think also coming in a little bit that manager like in manager, innkeeper mentality, where mm-hmm. she's like, just do something. She can't just let other people do their work. Like, she has to help. So she starts cleaning. And Emily comes in. I think Rory wants to go, but Emily says, no, I'll go. And they argue about the past and the terms of the loan. And of course, despite Rory actually not being supposed to know about the deal that they made, she overhears it.
Mm-hmm.
And she learns about the complicated family dynamics and the sacrifices her mom is making for her at the end. Right? Lorelai is willing to deal with her parents and all that stuff in order for Rory to go to Chilton and have her dream.
Mm-hmm.
Right. After dinner, Lorelai and Rory return home, both exhausted. I can imagine why. Lorelai apologizes, and Rory reassures her. Like, she also apologizes. Like, they're very similar. And the episode ends with the two of them back at Luke's diner, sharing coffee, which Luke is not very happy about. Coffee at night.
No.
For kids, especially.
Every time they go in and and order something, he admonishes them for what they have ordered.
Yeah, for their unhealthy life choices. I think they order, like, what was it, chili fries and coffee. Lots of coffee.
Right, and earlier they had ordered hamburgers, and he's like, red meat's going to kill you.
Exactly, yeah. The two Gilmores, so alike in his stubbornness, humor, and love of caffeine, ready to face Chilton, Friday night dinners, and whatever else Stars Hollow throws at them. Together. The end.
All right. So my overall impression of Rory and Lorelai, I had already pretty much decided this. And then there's the scene where Rory meets the boy that likes her. And she straight up spoon feeds us. She does a Stargate ham-fisted thing for us and tells us that her and her mom are the same person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And and I'd already decided, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And then she just, she validated what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So what I'm expecting for the rest of the series, and we did get this in the pilot.
Yeah.
They even have the same name.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with 16-year-old Lorelai and like 32-year-old Lorelai.
Yeah, she got her when she was 16, so about, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing the same person, how they deal with the life incidents that they're encountering from the two perspectives in her life throughout the whole show.
Yes, and.
Okay, yes, and.
Yes, and.
Give me your and.
That is absolutely what happens. And you also get to experience the relationship they have, as complicated as sometimes is, because mother-daughter is never easy.
Right.
And the difference is also, Rory is not Lorelai. And, I mean, you see some of it in the pilot. Like, Rory likes to read. She likes books. Did you see Lorelai at all read a book?
No, but it's clear she's very intelligent.
She is very intelligent, but books are not her thing. Like, she has that intelligence, and she has also, I think also thanks to her parents a little bit, that upbringing and that background, which also I think Rory got from her. But there's differences. And those... yeah, lead sometimes to issues in their relationship, but it also over time in the season they become more clear as Rory really grows into her own person, and they go to very different paths at the end. But they're still very similar. Yeah, it's totally normal. That's what you would expect. Rory is not Lorelai.
Right, but just humor me for a minute. They're the same person.
Yeah.
If you had the ability to go back as Patrice and to being a teenager, and have some other experiences and make some different choices,
yeah,
you would eventually diverge from the path that leads you to who you are today.
That is true. That is true. But even, I think, even 16-year-old Rory is not 16-year-old Lorelai. And the reason for it is Lorelai. Lorelai grew up with her parents, and we've met them now. And I think you can already extrapolate, like, what that was like and why. I mean, we get that hint that Lorelai ran away at some point. So she grew up in a very different environment, and Rory did not. And so there is, as similar as they are, that there is a difference. And the difference is Rory grew up with Lorelai as her mother, whereas Lorelai grew up with Emily as her mother. And that is the difference. And that difference, I think, gets more pronounced the older they get. Which makes sense.
Okay, well, and that's good, yeah. Because that's if we're not be. Getting, yeah, if yeah. we're not getting character development and growth over the course of the series.
Well, okay, that's a separate story. But I think it also makes sense. If you approach this as not a TV show and you just say those are people, that's how this would happen, right? It's pretty. I mean, sure. for a TV show, pretty close to real. There's this, and what we haven't talked about yet, there's the other relationship, which is Lorelai and Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And they're vastly different, I would say, from what we've seen in the pilot, yeah. Right? They're vastly different.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, maybe some of the stubbornness is they both have. All three, actually. I think they do. But they're vastly different. And that's the other relationship we meet here. It's as you said in the beginning, it's mother and daughter. But it's mother and daughter, two pairs.
Right? Yes.
And that's the other, kind of the secondary relationship that we get to meet in the show. And that we get to see how it evolves. And it's also interesting, I can tell you this much.
Well, I'm glad that's part of the ongoing series, and it makes sense. I mean, when they're listing Lorelai's mother and father,
yeah,
in the opening credits,
yes,
they're going to be around a lot.
Yes, they are. They kind of. I mean, now we know they will have Friday night dinners for the foreseeable future, where it's going to be interesting.
I did like the thing when Lorelai tells Rory, "Hey, tomorrow night we're having dinner with my parents," and Rory's confused. She's like,
"Is it Christmas?
What holidays in September?"
Exactly, is it Christmas already? Yeah, I think she said like what holidays in September. Yeah, because that's probably the only times they ever meet. It's like and we get to know more about what happened and what led to the kind of bad relationship that Lorelai and Emily have, and also how that changes over time. So it's
okay.
It's like throughout the season, like I'm not going to tell you what happens because I don't want to spoil that, but we get more of that, and we understand more, and we also see growth and change there. And I really like Rory's growth and development, because it's super interesting where she comes from this innocence, and where she ends up. And well, it's typical, like 16-year-old, and then, I mean, at the end, she's like 22, I want to say. She graduates from college, I think. So,
okay.
So like that. I should be about that, 23 maybe. And that relationship, but we also see other characters grow up and other relationships grow. One other I want to mention, we only got a little bit, Lane and her and Mrs. Kim. Right? That pretty, I don't want to say unloving, but like, difficult relationship.
It's a very different relationship.
Very different relationship. Like, it's kind of the almost the opposite of what Rory and Lorelai have. They're very close, and I think Mrs. Kim, there's a big distance, and also, like, Rory can, for the most part, decide her own fate and her own life, and Lane kind of can't.
Okay, to go along with that, the scene where Lorelai and Rory are walking down the street at night, and the hayride goes past.
Oh yeah, that's so funny.
And Lane and the boy that's supposed to be a doctor when he grows up are sitting there on the date.
Yeah,
quotes date.
Yeah,
and I presume it's Lane's father is sitting there with them, but all three of them look bored out of their minds. Yeah. None of them want to be there.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. So yeah, exactly. And I said that is also a relationship to watch, because also that one changes over time and has its development. Let's call it this way. So, and then there's the last relationship barely touched on, which is Lorelai and Luke. It's also a relationship of some sort, more a relationship to coffee, right?
But it's still a relationship.
Yeah.
And this is a show about relationships, so.
And you can tell.
That's going to be a thing.
You're right. Like, the entire show, one way or another, is relationships, right? A lot of mothers and daughters, but also others. And as I said, there's Lorelai and Luke. There's Lorelai and Suki a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Michelle fits in, but he's funny.
Well, you do need to have some characters there that break up a scene or add the comedic value, the levity.
Yeah, and I mean, Suki also does that. I mean, Melissa McCarthy is known for, like...
Yes.
So I think that's probably what the role that they play, like the... Maybe Luke a little bit as well, because, like, he the things he says is also funny. In his own way.
Yeah. He seems like a character that they could do some really interesting things with, or they could leave him as this character that shows up when you're breaking up scenes, which is kind of what he does in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know really how to categorize how, like, his involvement later on. But, yes, I think you got him. Yeah, so it's all about relationships, and it's really, really funny. It's funny in its way. Like, that's it. There's fun in mundane daily things. I can tell you one thing. There's other characters that get introduced that are also really funny that you haven't seen. And they're pretty early on, probably even in the second or third episode, we get to them. But they're not in the pilot.
We had, two names of people that were in the opening credits that weren't in the pilot?
Okay, we have more than that, actually, yes. We had the two extra names, yes. But we have other, you get to meet more townspeople. And they all are interesting and challenging and funny in their own way.
Just like real people.
Just like real people. I mean, that's the thing about this show. It feels as much as it's possible in a show like this, as if you're living in Stars Hollow, with all the weird people you meet usually. And it's not everybody you meet. It's probably bigger town than... the people I see, of course, because they can't afford hundreds of people.
Of course.
but it does,
you know,
feel
even
like
in a
it.
Big place,
yes,
you tend to have the group of people you encounter all the time.
Correct.
Even if you're not like on a first name basis with all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see the same people.
Exactly. There's usually a couple key people that kind of are everywhere and involved in everything and organize everything and do everything and just are around all the time, and everybody knows them. And that's the kind of people you get to know later. And there's some fun and really lovable and in their own way sometimes characters you meet.
Okay.
So that much I will tell you. And I cry every time at the end of the last episode because everybody comes together.
Okay, that's nice. So you get this big closure with everyone.
With literally everybody coming together. Yeah. So,
good. I have a question for you about the characters of Lorelai and Rory. And so they come across as both of them are neurodivergent or neurospicy in the same way.
Yes.
Is that an intentional choice, or is that the way the characters just kind of happen to evolve?
No.
But it felt like it was very intentional.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely 100%, 110% correct. They are neurospicy, as you called it. They are probably, it's never explicitly said, but it is very likely ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
It's at later episodes, at some point, it is very, very, very clear. But they never say it.
Okay.
But
okay.
It is 100% that way. They're both like that. There's so many little things that the speech and like how they go off on left and right and tangents. And coffee actually is also one of those things like most people don't know. But it's commonly associated or commonly correlated that usage of caffeine as a stimulant and or caffeine not having any stimulant interaction or action for you is very common for ADHD.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, even for me, I can drink coffee and go to bed. Like, not a problem. It actually calms me down. So I get sleepy from coffee, which is weird. But yes. So yeah, 100%. I think as is mentioned also by Amy's husband, I think Daniel's is that first name. Daniel Sherman Palladino, I think. As far as I know. He said, like, Lorelai is Amy. And we also mentioned that the script was every word had to be said that way. Mm-hmm. With that speed and that amount. That is not an accident.
Sure. Yeah.
That is not an accident that you want. And have to say, if you've ever seen both Alexis Bledel and Lauren Graham in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And you know a little bit about ADHD. It's very clear. They both have it.
Oh, okay.
They are definitely like that, or like left, right, and up and down, and oh, by the way, and like go off topic here and there, and whatever. Really fast.
And there's my coffee.
Yes.
That I made 3 hours ago. I forgot to drink.
Exactly. So, no, as I said, it's never explicitly stated, but I don't think it was ever an accident. They were picked for that role and they fit perfectly because they were the type of people who naturally were that way.
Okay.
Yeah, this is it. I might be projecting, but that's what I've read and heard and seen and what was talked about over time.
Well, it sure seemed very obvious and intentional.
Yes.
In the pilot.
Yeah. I
had to ask.
The writing and everything is definitely intentional. Whether Lauren Graham has ADHD or not, I mean, I don't know. But it's not a stretch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the speed, I mean, that is, yeah. There's literally later on one of my favorite scenes where Lorelai explains her train of thought. And that is kind of the point where it's then very obvious.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like... let me see. I can probably find the code for it. Like the underpants. yeah, there we go. I found it. Because she says, I'm writing a letter. I can't write a letter. Why can't I write a letter? I'm wearing a green dress. I wish I was wearing my blue dress. My blue dress is at the cleaners. The Germans wore gray. You wore blue. Casablanca is such a good movie. Casablanca, the White House, Bush. Why don't I drive a hybrid car? I should really drive a hybrid car. I should really take my bicycle to work. Bicycle, unicycle, unitard, hockey puck, rattlesnake, monkey, monkey underpants. That is that scene.
That's fantastic.
And that is textbook.
That is fantastic. Yes. Monkey, monkey underpants.
This is one of my favorite.
I'm assuming you can get t-shirts that say monkey, monkey.
Oh, 100%. Underpants. Yes. Hockey puck, rattlesnake, monkey, monkey underpants. Yes. Yes. It's a later episode, but it's, yes. That I think quite late in the show. But if it wasn't obvious before, that kind of seals the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is not the typical show for you, right? Like, I would say.
It is not.
Did you enjoy that set?
I did. I enjoyed it. I would not have watched this ever,
mm-hmm.
except that you rave about the show,
mm-hmm.
and suggested, why don't we do this? Because it's so very different from what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm game. Mm-hmm. I'll give anything a shot.
Yes, and, you do. I can attest that. You definitely do. And, even if you don't like it at the end, which is fine. I mean, it's like not everybody has to like everything and everybody's different. So if you had watched it and said, yeah, it was nice, but yeah, not my thing.
Okay. No, I enjoyed it. For so many of the pilots that I have seen,
mm-hmm.
over time, I can say that this ranks as one that was done very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many pilots, you can feel the stress.
Yes. Oh yeah.
In the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, or the gaps where they were like, we don't yet know yet what we're gonna do, but we have a pilot now.
Right. Yeah, and this felt like it was woven together, mm-hmm. very well,
mm-hmm.
and aside from when we got each new character introduction,
yep.
that part feeling like a little strained,
mm-hmm.
which is totally normal for something like this.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a typical pilot episode. And so that was a very happy surprise for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it the little they had to do to kind of get us to know, to introduce, or get to introduce those characters, they did. But other than that, it was just like, hey, we just got dropped into Lorelai's and Rory's lives, and we get to experience it with them.
And they did a really good job of dropping us in the middle of their, mm-hmm. lives and taking us along by the hand so we didn't feel like we were completely lost with each person we encountered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they did a good job with the pilot. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I, mm-hmm. found Lorelai and Rory to be very interesting characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see where, now that they've given the setup so that they have to interact with her parents.
Oh, yes.
where those characters and the interaction there,
mm-hmm.
has the potential for a lot of really interesting things. And knowing that they toned down the Suki slapstick,
mm-hmm.
that's a relief, because what I see there is a potential for more deeper interaction between Lorelai and Suki over, mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's clear they're like best friends and they've known each other for a long time. They, yes. have this dream of opening their own bakery or
their own inn. Yeah.
Their own inn. Yes. Excuse me. Yeah. Their own inn. And yeah, so I can see where there's a lot that can happen,
mm-hmm.
with that relationship,
yeah.
over time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential here.
Yeah. And I think you hit it at one also important point. It's not just relationships. There is enough other story that can happen that you can extrapolate from the pilot. I mean, we now have the whole Rory goes to Chilton. Maybe Rory goes to Harvard at some future date. Mm-hmm. We have what does happen with the inn and do Suki and and Lorelai open an inn at some point. The whole thing that you just mentioned, what happens with their parents, and are they going to go to dinners every Friday? What happens with Lane and her mom and the people she's setting her up with? And also, I mean, something we didn't mention, but Lane was changing her clothes. Like, she left basically the house and then she was changing. So will she...
Oh my God, you're right.
Will she eventually, I want to say in air quotes, come out to her mom and be herself, right, in that sense? Mm-hmm. There's so many little stories that you already see here that make it also interesting. It's not just, okay, there's relationships. Eventually relationships might get it not so interesting, but there's also enough other things happening that will add to that. And to that point in a second episode, it's Lorelai's first day, or Rory's first, it's Lorelai's first day at Chilton.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to school. And a new school.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to meet Paris. So, that's much out of it, because we talked about it.
Yeah. All right, so one of the concerns that I mm-hmm. had going into this mm-hmm. was that it would come off to me as if I'm just watching a soap opera.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that feeling from it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
So, it's not. Yes. Very long-winded way of saying I liked the mm-hmm. the episode. I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleasantly surprised, because I did go into it with some trepidation about mm-hmm. Different elements.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked away from it feeling like I didn't need to be worried about the things I was worried about. Mm-hmm. And I think this was a solid pilot for a series that you clearly love.
Yeah.
Now, will I watch more episodes? I will watch more episodes if it's something that we're doing as part of our thing, or if an episode is just on and I see it, I will watch it. I'm not going to avoid it.
Okay.
Am I going to add it to my list of must watch shows? Probably not. But that doesn't diminish I've only seen one episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe if I watch two or three more episodes, the next thing you know, I'm hardcore Gilmore Girls. And I'm telling you, let's get back to SG-1 later on. We need to talk about Lorelai and Rory.
Yeah. So, we should think about that. Maybe we'll watch another one. Maybe we won't. People will know when the next episode hits their feeds what we did next. I don't think
that's
we
true.
Know. So.
Well, I mean, sometimes
we have
know.
A
sometimes
plan. No, yeah, I mean, we do have a plan.
We have a plan.
We have a plan, but that plan can change.
At any time, because no one's the boss of us.
Correct. Yes. If we start talking really, really fast, then you know something happened.
Yeah.
Or you're running us on whatever, 3X.
Either way, it's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so do we do Chevron ratings for an episode like this?
What would be an appropriate rating system for the Gilmore Girls? Let me think about that.
How many Lorelais do you give an episode? How many cups of coffee do you give an episode?
Yes, I love that. Cups of coffee is very appropriate for them. So, Jeff, how many cups of coffee? We probably need a scale. What was it? 6 cups was how much she had that day. Well, 7? No, her 6. So 6 already. And if we add, let's do 10, because she probably had more than 10 in a day.
All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10 coffee cups.
Yeah.
I will give this, since it's coffee cups, they can be half full. I'm going to give it 7.
No. You've seen her cup.
Oh, you drink.
They're full and they're big.
Okay, let's give this 7 coffee cups.
7 cups. Which for normal people is a slight heart attack.
With that. Yeah. 7 coffee cups.
Okay. That's tough now, because it is one of my favorite shows. I know what's going to happen, which is always my problem. I'm like, I know what's going to happen. I know what What?
I think I have it easier on reading episodes because I don't have the burden of knowing what's coming.
Exactly. I'm going to give it 8 or 9. I kind of want to give it 10 because I just love it. But then I also see the flaws in the episode in the pilot. And then I also know the things they changed for the better, actually, mostly in the second episode. Because the sets are better and whatever. Like, it just feels more coherent and it's what we expect for later. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's not a 10. It's maybe not a 9. Maybe it's an 8. I think it's more than 7 for me.
Okay.
Like, let's give it...
I would assume it's more than 7 for you.
Yeah. Let's give it 8 and then I fall asleep after 8.
Okay,
not because fair. The show's so bad, because 8, no, it's a bit more because 8
cups of coffee. But because you only had 8.
No, 8 cups of coffee will make me that sleepy that I'll just fall asleep.
Okay, that's fair. But I'm glad you suggested this because I did enjoy watching the episode. And since I watched something I don't typically watch, I got to burn new neural pathways.
Yay. A lot of them, because you had to follow the speed of Lorelai and Rory.
Yeah, this is a show where you don't turn it on and do other things. Yeah. You need to pay attention. If you can listen.
No, actually, okay. You have met me.
I can't.
I can. Not a problem. Not a problem. I actually watch it a lot while I'm doing other things. But I do, to be fair, except for when I watch for our podcast. Most shows I watch like that. There's the rare show where I'm like, no, I have to pay attention to that. Most shows I'm like, background, I'll do something else, especially the ones I like.
And for me, if I'm watching something on television, TV show, movie, that's my primary focus.
No, that's what most people do. That's why I'm neurospicy. Yeah,
and I love you for it.
Thank you.
If I want to consume content where I don't have to directly pay attention, that's what music is for.
It doesn't work for me.
Although a lot of times I have to pay very close attention to that, and then it's like, oh no, I can't have any lyrics because then I'm focusing on that, so I'm gonna work on and I don't think I'm neurospicy, but when I talk like that, I do wonder.
Maybe everybody has a little.
Hey, you know, we all have a little spice somewhere, right?
Yeah. Spice makes things interesting.
That's right. I don't want to be bland.
Exactly. Good. With that, we'll see what happens next. Maybe we'll watch another episode. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll do something with Stargate and then we'll come back to this. Maybe we'll watch a completely different show. Everything is possible. So stay tuned. Thanks for doing this with us. Also, thanks for doing this with me, Jeff.
Oh, of course. And Patrice, thank you for I guess, putting up with me.
No.
I can be high maintenance.
No, no. But not even close.
Patrice, we should tell people where they can find us. So where can people find you?
Well, every week with you almost every week with you on the British Tech Network, except for the right now not so rare weeks where something happens and one of us is out or both of us are out. Mm-hmm. Or I'm traveling, you traveling, it's like 4th of July, like all of that. British Tech Network, yeah, that's where we do shows together. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, all the podcasts, projects, social media that I barely ever check these days. It's too distracting. All of that.
Awesome. All right.
Then. Did I mention my website or did I forget now? Scroll. ThePatrice.com.
Patrice.com/monkey_underpants.
Oh, you should have that URL. Yes, I'll do that. ThePatrice.com/monkey_underpants. I'll set it up.
Excellent. All right. Then for me, Jay Gamut on the social medias, and I'm active right now on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed. You already mentioned the shows we're on together in British Tech Network. Just a couple more. The Context Machine, Brad Chaffin, and In Touch with iOS. That's Dave Ginsberg Show. There's more, but that's enough for now.
Very sweet.
Also, you can email us at hello@retrorewatch.com. We're on Blue Sky. We're retrorewatch.com.
Correct.
One of these days I'll remember that, but yeah, not today.
You did.
And, well, I'll remember it confidently.
Okay. Well, that might take a while. But I mean, we also have still 8 seasons of Stargate SG-1.
Right. So eventually it'll stick, and I'll be confident about
by
it.
By maybe when we reach the movies.
Okay, that's fair. Yep. All right. Oh, and Mastodon, Retro Rewatch at techhangout.social.
Correct. That you did confidently.
It's. I guess I'm better at remembering the Mastodon than the Blue Sky, but okay.
Even though it's easier. Maybe because it's easy.
I never said I was easy.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. I guess now it's time to close the door on the inn.
Mm-hmm. And have more coffee.
And have more coffee. Tea for me.
Tea for you. Okay.
All right. Patrice, thanks for telling me I needed to watch this. That was a lot of fun. And I cannot wait to see what we do next.